several different types of drugs. Methadone and Valium were two of them. Previously that day, he had hit a school bus full of athletes. He had done a hit and run in Astoria, and unfortunately, my in-laws were in the wrong place at the wrong time. And this man crossed the center line, and even though my father-in-law tried to pull over to the right as far as he could, there was a ditch there. He couldn't go any further, and the car hit him head-on. He was killed instantly, the steering wheel impaled into his chest. My niece, Jennifer, died the next day, but she basically was killed at that same time. And my mother-in-law was seriously injured, and we almost thought we were going to lose her several times. She's had several surgeries since the crash. The man who did this to us had previously killed his wife and best friend and served about 2.5 years for that. 10 years after he killed his wife and best friend, he had another assault. Seriously assaulted somebody driving while intoxicated. It was 20 years after he had killed his wife and best friend that he killed my father-in-law and my niece and seriously injured my mother-in-law. How has this affected our lives? Well, you know, we cry every day because people that were very important to us are missing. My mother-in-law has a very hard time. She has had, like I said, several surgeries, had two more back surgeries last year, is in constant pain. My sister-in-law lost her only child, Jennifer, and I wanted her to come down and testify on Monday. She had a day off work, and she just couldn't. She has spent the last 2 days crying because every time we testify for a bill, it brings everything back. It brings back all the pain, and it makes us mad that we even have to be here. But we want to do something so that it doesn't happen to anybody else. Do you have any questions?
Thank you very much.
And you have the written testimony and pictures.
Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now bring up Heidi Moen.
Good afternoon, Chair Shields and members of the subcommittee. I'm Heidi Moad. I'm a deputy district attorney in Multnomah County, and I am appearing today in support of House Bill 2740. We have been sort of furiously working in the hallway while there was a call of the House to come to an agreement with some of the stakeholders in this. I think it's safe to say not every interested party in this bill agrees with this, but Mr. Dole was a participant, Senator Burdick was a participant, Ms. Alconich from OCDLA was a participant in these discussions as well. And we would support the bill as amended by these sort of agreed-upon amendments, and I'll just outline them very briefly for you. It would be aggravated vehicular homicide if the individual in question has a prior manslaughter in the first degree, manslaughter in the second degree, or criminally negligent homicide. In other words, if you have killed someone while driving under the influence of intoxicants, then you're looking at the 240 months. We have also agreed that it would be appropriate to add an affirmative defense to this section that if the individual's predicate offense was not related to driving under the influence of intoxicants, then they would not qualify for this enhancement. We would agree to amend the manslaughter in the first degree statute to add to that if a person has a prior assault in the first degree, assault in the second degree, assault in the third degree, or they are felony driving under the influence of intoxicants, meaning they have been convicted for DUII 3 times in the last 10 years. And that would be the 120 months that already exists under ballot measure 11. And again, the affirmative defense that if these predicate assault 1, 2, or 3s were not related to driving under the influence of intoxicants, the individual would not fit into this manslaughter in the first degree. Finally, the assault in the first degree remains unchanged from the 2740 current version. In other words, any of those qualifying priors, man one, man two, criminally negligent homicide, assault one, two, or three, or the felony DUII, that would be the 90 months measure 11. We would add the affirmative defense again of not related to driving under the influence of intoxicants, and we would delete the language that is in the existing 2740 included driving with criminal negligence. We believe that that casts the net wider than the bill actually intended to do, and so we believe we need to take that with criminal negligence out. Mr. Nasby is furiously working on the amendments in the hope they could even be done today, but if they cannot be done, these are the amendments that at least some of the stakeholders have agreed to. And I'll just say I feel that this bill is a very important bill because this bill intends to really capture the people who have committed this crime before, who have had opportunities for treatment and for supervision in the community, and who we now know will reoffend. And that is why the District Attorney's Office believes that these increased penalties are appropriate for this handful of people. I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. Colleagues, we're going to have to go to the full Ways and Means Committee shortly, so I think it was very important to explain, particularly for the record, what the amendments will do. If we can hold off on the questions so that I can get more testimony before we're called. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ms. Miller.
I'll be here, sir.
I think, Ms. Bird, I'd like you to come up, since I know you came along to and had some difficulty to get here. I want to make sure your testimony is straight.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Arwen Bird. I'm here representing the Crime Survivors for Community Safety Program. Crime Survivors for Community Safety was founded in 1999. We're a statewide organization that represents survivors of crime. We also represent people that are formerly and currently incarcerated. The organization was founded on the belief that we wanted to take a more holistic approach to looking at the criminal justice system and working towards effective solutions. I am here today because this issue is very, feel very personally connected to it. I was paralyzed in a crash caused by a man who had been drinking at the time of the crash in 1993, and have since that time become very interested in the way that our criminal justice system responds to violence, and specifically the solutions that we come up with to try and address the problem of drunk driving. The legislation before you, I guess I should also just preface some of the things that I would like to say by saying that I would like to address more of the broad concepts that are presented in the bill. It seems like, you know, you're down to the point now where you're addressing a lot of the nuances to the legislation. But as an organization, we're fundamentally opposed to mandatory sentences. We don't believe in one-size-fits-all sentencing. I, as a survivor, don't believe that it vindicates me as a human or my survivorship to respond to the violence that was perpetrated against me with a one-size-fits-all approach. And so that's why I'm here today. What I would like to present you with, and part of my frustration with legislation like this, is that it's so focused on the people who perpetrate the violence at the expense of survivors, that to the extent that we are so focused on looking at punishing and mandatory sentences for folks that have committed these crimes, these horrible crimes, we're not focusing time and attention to survivors. As somebody who's been dealing with paralysis and the long-term effects of the decisions of a drunk driver now for 14 years, I can tell you that these things, that the needs that we have as survivors don't go away. And mandatory sentences are very expensive. They're driving prison construction. Keeping people in prison for longer and longer periods of time is a very expensive solution. And at the same time, programs that are designed to help survivors have been continually whittled down. So I would really ask you to consider whether or not this type of solution was the best thing for survivors in the long run, if we're looking at solely punishing offenders and not really looking at the whole picture of who loses out when you vote to pass this kind of legislation. So thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Ms. Bird. Okay, we'll stand at ease for a second until we plot our next move. Full Ways and Means is... They
haven't started. There's another subcommittee meeting in F right now. So.
Okay. And so we're going to stand in recess for a minute. I'm going to close the... let's see, it's actually a work session. Carry over the work session on House Bill 2740 till tomorrow until we get the amendments.
Mr. Chair, I would never want to interfere with the prerogative of the chair, but could I ask for 2 minutes for my constituents to speak?
She sure did.
You did? Okay, I missed it.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, could I ask for 2 minutes for Senator Burdick to be in attendance? While
I told him to get here.
Not in a hall trying to
we will. I know you're working hard, Senator Burdick.
I definitely was.
We will continue over House Bill 2740 for tomorrow, and I will open a work session on House Bill 2153.
Mr. Chair, members, if Mr. Walker is listening, you are being summoned quickly. Mr. Chair, 2153 is before you, and actually I think you had this in public hearing a couple days ago. This measure eliminates the statute of limitations on certain sex crimes, and Mr. Walker is here.
Let's listen. Thank you. Hey, Gary.
Please continue in mid-sentence.
Okay. Chair Shields, members of the committee, House Bill 2153. Will eliminate the statute of limitations on certain sex crimes in which DNA has been preserved and its characteristics can be tested. The fiscal impact of this bill is indeterminate. It is near impossible to anticipate how many cases this may affect. Public Defense Services Commission anticipates that there would be some increased level of prosecution, but it's not possible to quantify how many additional prosecutions would result from this measure. PDSC incurs defense costs of between $2,500 for a Measure 11 Class A felony and $480 for a Class C felony. The CJC indicates that it does not expect an unusual increase in the number of beds needed as a result of this measure. And we do have an A2 amendment, which just changes some of the terminology and narrows it down a little bit. That's all I've got at the moment. Any questions?
I'll just pretend like I'm running the meeting.
Well, you got a vice chair now, so.
Yeah.
Is this the amendment?
Yes.
Is the committee ready for an amendment? You ready for a motion, Mr. Chair?
I am.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash two amendments to House Bill 2153.
Senator Westland has moved the dash twos into House Bill 2153. Is there any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chair, just real quick, I've got the dash two. I'm looking for my A engrossed version of the bill. What's the dash two doing? Can somebody explain that to us?
The dash two amendment on page two of the A engrossed bill adds the phrase unlawful sexual penetration to first or second degree in the prosecution of what's eligible under this suspending the statute of limitations.
Okay, so it's leaving anything. It's just adding it. Okay, thank you.
Further discussion? Any objections?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Burdick.
For the moment, I'm going to object. This is another criminal justice extension of a statute of limitation, which it may be okay, but I'm not prepared to vote for this today, so I will be in.
Very good. Are you okay with moving the dash two amendments into the bill?
I'll participate in doing that.
Okay, Senator Burdick is okay with dash twos. Any other objections to the dash twos? So moved.
Mr. Chair, I
Senator Westland.
House Bill 2153 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Westland moves the House Bill 2153 as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any other discussion?
Just briefly,
Senator Parker.
I think I support this because this has the DNA evidence and the extension of the statute of limitations has to do with that. I think that.
And Mr. Chair, I may be supporting this on the floor because, as Representative Barker mentioned, this is just another bill that did not go through the judiciary process, and I want to take a careful look before I make a final decision.
And did it pass unanimously out of the House Judiciary?
Yes.
Yes.
It's been through our committee.
All right, good. I would just, for the record, like to express my concerns. I will be voting for it, but may vote against it on the floor once I've gotten more into it. So, objections, Senator Burdick, any others?
Does the record show that Senator Schrader is here?
Yeah, Senator Schrader is here. There are no objections, so moved to the floor. Carriers, Senator Burdick, no, just kidding. Thank you, Senator. Let's see. Four. Representative Hanna will carry it at to full and also on the floor. And on the Senate side, Senator Nelson. All right. And I will close a work session on House Bill 2153. We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 3233. We'll open a work session on House Bill 3233.
Yes, Senate Bill.
That was a typo, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Chair, it is House Bill 3233. Mr. Chair and members, House Bill 3233 creates the Sex Offender Treatment Board, and in the interest of time, you heard this just recently, so in the interest of time, I'll skip over kind of the introduction that I've laid out in the overview memo. You have a copy of the hand-engrossed bill and the amendments, which I'll move to if that's okay with you, Mr. Chair. Six amendments. The dash A5 amendments include the Senate confirmation of members that the subcommittee wanted, as well as the dash 4 that were presented during the public hearing. And the dash 4, just by way of a refresher, eliminates the certified sexual arousal and interest examiner title, as well as references to evaluation in defining the services to be provided by certified sex offender therapists. And I believe that was just to clarify that the certified therapists are concentrating on post-trial activities as opposed to pre-trial activities. LFO has also requested an amendment, which I was handed just as I walked in, so I don't have copies for you, but it's to add a one-time $150,000 other funds expenditure limitation
to the health licensing agency to allow them limitations for the initial startup of bringing the board on and getting the rules established and integrating it into their organization. If they need additional ongoing limitation to support the board, they'll incorporate that into their 09-11 budget request. Let's see. I think that's it. And those I have, so I have dash 6 amendments that would incorporate the expenditure limitation increase, the dash 4s, and the Senate confirmation. So if there, I'd be happy to answer any questions, or you could move the dash 6.
Are these all these amendments that you're talking about in front of us?
Yes. Except
for the dash 5s?
Except for the dash 6, which just adds the $150,000.
So that would be our conceptual.
Well, I was handed a copy of the dash 6 that has it. I did not have an opportunity to make copies for you all.
I understand we've been having some technical difficulties in OFO.
I don't
know. I wouldn't feel comfortable moving the dash 6s without at least having the committee look at them.
What are the dash 6s?
The dash 6s are the dash is adding the $150,000 other funds expenditure limitation to the dash 5s that you already have.
Are we talking about just putting a number in? Continue.
I'm sorry if I'm not being helpful. Yeah, it's in.
So that what I hear you saying is the dash 6s looks like it replaces the bill, essentially. Yes?
Which is... No.
No. Help me out.
It may be that that's how LC drafted the dash 6s. Again, I was...
Okay. I think I don't feel comfortable moving that until at least we've had a cursory look at those. So I will close the work session on Senate Bill 3233. Do you think we can get some copies of those?
Sure. You want me to go?
Yeah.
Sure.
And... actually, we'll carry over the work session until 10 or 15 minutes from now. And I will open a work session on House Bill 3083.
Okay, House Bill 3083A permits a person with legal custody of a minor to settle a claim on behalf of the minor without court approval if the amount of the claim is $25,000 or less. This bill actually has no fiscal impact. You have testimony also from Neil Jackson for the Oregon Trail Lawyers Association. So I think there are no amendments. This could be ready to move if that's the committee's interest.
Okay. And my understanding is that this is a compromise agreement between the trial lawyers and various industry members. And so we need to move the amendments.
There are no amendments.
A motion to move the bill, yes.
I move House Bill 3083 as amended to the floor. Yeah, but it was amended. Mr. Chair, I move the A and Gross version of House Bill 3083 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Westland has moved House Bill 3083A as amended to the full Ways and Means with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections?
Oh, Mr. Chair.
I just want to say I really appreciate folks bringing this forward. I had a nephew who was almost killed in a car accident. He is under the age of 18, and my family is wrestling with this very issue. So I really appreciate folks bringing it forward.
Thank you, Senator Brown. Discussion, further discussion. Any objections? Seeing none, it's moved. I'll carry it in full. I'll carry it in full. Representative Shields, and then Senator Brown, would you like to put it on the Senate floor?
Sure.
Shields. And thank you. I will close the work session on House Bill 3083. Senator Westland?
You can reopen a work session and then just go into recess on for the 2333. Before we get out of here and forget, could you close the work session?
23, you mean 3233?
Yes, 3233.
And do you think we should carry that one over?
3233, what's
well,
it wasn't in
well we closed the work session and I think we had to reopen it during this while we're still in session before we get out of here and forget because then
okay so reopen the work session. Okay, good. On Senator Westland's recommendation, I've reopened a work session on House Bill 3233, and we will be so that'll remain open for now. And then we'll carry that over as soon as we get the amendments. Now, I don't have to close that work session open then, right?
Well, just
start to
recess.
Well,
it's 2153
now.
Elsie's coming. Great. Okay.
Are you ready?
We already got that, didn't we?
Elsie's on its way.
2843.
Elsie's on its way.
So let's do that.
2843.
Are we ready for
2843?
No.
So, close the work session. Close the work session on House Bill 3233 and open a work session on House Bill 2843.
Chair Shields, members of the committee, House Bill 2843 is a bill that creates a Class A misdemeanor of furnishing sexually explicit material to a child and punishes by a maximum of 1 year's imprisonment, a $6,250 fine or both, and also creates a Class C felony of luring a minor, punishable by a maximum of 5 years imprisonment, $125,000 fine or both. We also have an A19 amendment, which essentially clarifies some of the exemptions to this bill, and that is around bona fide museum, school, law enforcement agency, medical treatment provider, or public library acting within their scope. So it clarifies exactly who is exempt from this law. The fiscal impact is indeterminate. It's a new law, so the data doesn't exist to accurately predict how many additional prosecutions or convictions may be out there. I would suspect that it may be more than we may think. I think this problem may be bigger than we think, and if it's a Class C felony that they're prosecuting, the fiscal impacts could be substantial. But at this point, we have no way of quantifying what those numbers might be.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Burdick.
If I could.
Senator Burdick.
I
know, we look alike.
I just want to speak briefly to the Dash 19 amendments. The issue that has been raised in Section 2 of the bill is the constitutional one, and so I would make two comments. One is that we worked very closely with Department of Justice, Legislative Council, and Darian Stanford of the Judiciary Committee Council to try and craft these as narrowly as possible. I think it's fair to say that Section 2 raises some constitutional questions. It is my sense that, given the state of the case law in this arena, I think this is worth taking the risk on this. I think Section 3 is solid, but what we did in the Dash 19 amendments is moved up to the non-liability provision medical treatment providers, so they would be not subject at risk to subject to prosecution. I feel pretty comfortable that this narrows the bill. In fact, our discussion with the Department of Justice is that it may narrow it too much, but we tried to craft it sort of keeping all those considerations in mind but still protect children. So that's where we're at. I would ask for your passage of the Dash A19s.
Is that a motion?
I would move the Dash A19s, sure.
Do we have those?
Yeah, they're attached.
Senator Brown has moved the Dash 19 amendments. Is there any discussion? Any objections? So moved.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2843 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Westland has moved House Bill 2843 as amended to the Full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Senator Burdick.
Mr. Chair, I really appreciate the effort that's gone into this bill to make it pass constitutional muster. I still think that I'm still uncomfortable with Section 2. I don't have a problem with Section 3 because it's so behaviorally oriented, but I will not be able to support the bill today because of Section 3.
Thank you, Senator Burdick. Any other discussion? Objections besides Senator Burdick? So moved. Carriers for the House.
Dash 19.
Oh, yeah. We haven't moved the bill yet.
Everybody breathe.
All right. It is moved.
Wait. On June 20th.
Let's see. So we need a carrier for full on the House side. Representative Hanna.
I can take it in full, but I'd like to let Olson.
Representative Olson.
Carrier.
Okay. Representative Hanna in full on the House side, and Representative Olson will carry it, I believe, on the House floor. Were there any other House Democrats involved in that, or was it mostly Olson? Okay. And then on the Senate side, Senator Brown, would you like to carry it?
Sure.
Oh, I have a case.
We didn't want to.
Okay, I will close the work session on House Bill 2843.
I'll dump them on you guys if I don't have time.
Yeah, I know that.
All right, thank you.
Doug, let you know.
I failed to disclose a potential conflict of interest because while Heidi Moab was testifying, I came to my knowledge that she is a relative of a member of this committee, and I was unduly influenced by her testimony. And I like, you know, that's the point. I like your blood relative, so.
So I will reopen a work session on House Bill 3233, and I appreciate your patience with us as we have a chance to at least review the Dash 6 amendments. So please continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And Mr. Chair, you are right as I look at this that the amendments replaced the bill incorporating the Dash 4s, the Dash 5 and the other funds expenditure limitation, and someone was kind enough to get the drafter for me, so if you had questions, obviously, since I was just handed this, I haven't gone through and verified.
Read every word.
Yes, thank you, Senator Westland. So, but if that would be your pleasure, I can certainly do that and come back to you later.
I mean, the Dash 4s and the Dash 5s, so I think, been vetted.
Yes.
The Dash 6 merely makes an appropriation. Is that correct?
That is correct, and that's in Section 18.
Section 18.
And it's the $150,000 other funds expenditure limitation that I mentioned at the beginning to allow the Health Licensing Agency to implement the bill.
Okay. And then... That will be correct. Other funds from providers.
That's correct. They will establish a temporary structure in order to cover the initial cost, and then they will come back at a later time and they know what the regulatory costs of the profession are and set a final fee structure to cover those costs.
Thank you. So, Deborah, I want to make sure I have this. The difference between the A and gross version of this and what is shown is in the A6 is that the 4s and 5s are incorporated and the A6 amendment is Section 18 is new.
Correct. It includes the amendments Ms. Shankle reviewed with you again, taking out the one title related to sexual arousal and interest examiner, removing the word evaluation from the services that the therapists do. It adds your Senate confirmation of board members that you wanted, and the other funds expenditure limitation increase for the health license. You guys okay?
Good work, okay.
And you may recall we got pretty far down the road on this, but then realized we needed a little more work on some amendments. They came up to my office, got a note to LC, and added some work. Before we go to vote on it, I'm very pleased with the work product on this. I did, however, have a constituent who feels that it should be improved in future sessions as well by adding somebody from perhaps the Oregon Psychological Association onto the board. I haven't really even looked at that, but I just wanted to let staff know that I'm interested in advancing the bill even further next session. So, do we have a motion for the dash six? Is correct.
Mr. Chair, before I move that, I think we should compliment Legislative Council for the quick turnaround and allowing. Good job, guys.
Definitely.
They
got very little notice on that.
Anyway, having said that, and thank you, I move the dash six amendments in the House Bill 3233.
Senator Westland has moved the dash sixes into 3233. Any objections? So moved.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3233 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Westland has moved House Bill 3233 as amended to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? So moved. Carriers on the House side. Well, let's see. We need somebody in full. I'll carry it in full. And on the floor. And then on the Senate side.
Trying to be helpful.
Who hasn't done one lately?
Nelson hasn't done one.
Thank you.
Senator Nelson. Any other business for this committee?
Hey.
This meeting is adjourned.